Welcome to the monthly session for the Advisor Pack monthly program. I'm Mark Little. We've got a full agenda today, so let's get rolling. We had several questions that were submitted for today's session, so we've got 45 minutes. I'm going to attempt to cover everything, even though it's a little bit more content than we're used to covering in this amount of time, but here we go. I want to show you up front the questions that are submitted for today, just so that you know what we're going to be covering. And if you come back, when you come back to the replay page, if you'll examine the player, each of these questions will be listed right on the player. If you want to just listen to one of the responses, you can click right on the question itself on the player, and it'll magically transport you, hop you forward in the session to just that issue. So the first question is, I've just made the decision to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. What do I do first? So there was a little bit more background in this email. So just to give you a little bit of background, this is a financial advisor, an individual who up until now has been offering financial products and services for a commission to their clients, and now has made a decision to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. So here's what I'm going to sum these up in the end, but let me just tell you the steps. So the first one, it seems like you should start with the actual services, but in fact, what you need to do is establish your vision, because as a part of delivering comprehensive financial services, as you get into this more and more, you'll realize that there are others on your team who are going to be involved in helping you with this vision. So your ability to articulate what you're trying to do and the vision that you've got for the business is going to be very important. And what I recommend and what we have found that gives the best outcome is if, you know, forget everybody else. Don't describe your vision for others. You can do that after you've established your own vision for yourself. Start with something that will inspire you. And then all the other articulations of what you're trying to accomplish, in other words, how you describe your vision to others, will come very easily after you've done this exercise. So start with your own vision that inspires you. And what we recommend, the best way to do this is to literally write a narrative, to block off a couple of hours at least, start off with 2 hours, and you'll know once you get into it if that's going to be enough or not. You may have to book more time. But literally sit down with in front of, I actually find sitting down with pad and pen to be the best. I find I'm more creative kind of in the analog creation mode when I'm sitting there with a blank piece of paper and I'm just writing it out. But even if you're sitting in front of a blank computer screen typing your response, what you're going to do is write a narrative. What I want you to do is I want you to set the date of this narrative 3 years from today. So you're transporting yourself out into the future. You're a time traveler. And so now you're sitting on today's date, but 3 years from now, and you're looking back over the last 3 years as though it had already happened. So what I want you to do is I want you to describe your life. So you're sitting there 3 years from now, looking at your life, describe it. Just start writing. Describe your business and your work life. You know, what are you doing day to day? What are the types of things? Are you interacting with people? Are you on the computer? We're in a people business. So, you know, certainly you're interacting with people at some level. You should be spending 80% of your time face to face or on the phone with people, clients, potential clients. But describe what you're actually doing. Are you on the phone? Are you face to face? Who are you interacting with in your office? Describe your team. Describe the people that you invest your time with day to day. How many appointments per day are you having? Are they with clients? Are they with potential clients? How many hours would you like to work? How many hours are you working per month? How many hours are you working per year? And then describe your personal life. Describe every detail of both your personal and business life. You know, where do you live? describe your office. What are you doing in all the areas of your life? I like to think in terms of the F's. There's all these quality of life categories that you can and should describe in your narrative. What are you doing for fun? What are you doing with your family? What are you doing with your friends? What are you doing for with your finances? What do your finances look like 3 years from now? And then kind of stretching the F rule a little bit, your fitness. Describe your physical fitness and what you're doing. Focus on what you're doing. I want you to describe your activities both in your business and personal life so you have a very clear vision of what your business looks like. And provide the value and describe the value to your clients. What are clients telling you 3 years from now about the value you're providing in their lives? So establish your vision, establish what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And by the way, how did we pick 3 years? Well, 5 years is too long, and we have discovered, well, I went from a horrible business model back in 1999 when I had 1,242 clients, non-ideal clients, and in 34 months, from January of the year 2000 until October of the year 2002, I completely transformed my business, politely disengaged from 1,225 clients, narrowed my business down to 17 ideal clients, and used those 17 ideal clients to build my business back up to 100 ideal clients. So I had 100 ideal clients, and it all took 34 months. So and then we have been working with advisors since 2002 to establish truly comprehensive financial services under a very sensible business model since then. So we've validated over and over that this can be done in 3 years. So make it 3 years. Assume you can get this done in 3 years and establish your vision. Second, we talked about it in last session in great detail, but firmly establish your ideal client profile. You should make a commitment to build a business working entirely with ideal clients. Life's too short to deal with non-ideal clients. Non-ideal clients who can't afford you, don't necessarily appreciate you, all of them, and or just aren't financial delegators. They're not the type of person to really seek the advice of an expert or an expert team. So commit to working with ideal clients and describe the profile of the client that meets your ideal client profile. This is the client that you serve best. It should have two components, a financial component, a financial profile of the individual so that they can read the profile item and look at it and say, yeah, that fits me. And it describes it in such a way that they realize that they can afford to work with you. And it's a courtesy to non-ideal clients, because when they look at the ideal client profile and see the financial part of the profile and realize, I'm not going to be able to afford this advisor. It's a service to them as well. It avoids embarrassment. But you also need to have personal qualities of the individual as well. So those two parts of your ideal client profile. And among them, my opinion is that all advisors delivering truly comprehensive financial services, that one of the personal qualities that will always be there is financial delegator. Because if a client's not a financial delegator, they don't want to pay the fee and they don't want to take your advice. And so that doesn't fit the profile of a client that you can serve best. Print out this profile. Make it known widely. Every client, every person that you know, all family and friends, anybody interested in your business should be very aware of your ideal client profile. This is a mistake that we see advisors make a lot, even experienced advisors, is that they do have, even if they do have an ideal client profile, they're not distributing it very widely. So make sure that your ideal client profile is printed out and that it's distributed to everyone. Matter of fact, if you've been a follower on our blog, I've I've blogged about the Marketing 101 Make a List project. This is one of the most effective projects that we've ever developed that other advisors have used to expand the pool of potential clients that you're talking to. As a matter of fact, once I developed and then implemented the Marketing 101 Make a List project, I was never comfortable unless I had at least 200 names in my pool of potential clients that I could reach out and talk to about coming in for an initial client interview. So Marketing 101 basically says this. It says, you know, who in your community could do business with you if they wanted to? In other words, they have the financial wherewithal and, you know, and they meet your ideal client profile. So I can tell you from experience, this list does not exist. So you're going to have to create it. But that is not what most advisors do. Most advisors are just out there doing whatever their client acquisition activity is in a somewhat aimless way. And what Marketing 101 says is create a list. Create a list of everyone in your community who could do business with you. This is your list of potential clients. Now, they may not meet the personal qualities once you get to know them, but you can build this list of people using others that you know in the community to point you in the direction of people who meet the financial profile that you're looking for. And second, there are two questions in Marketing 101. First question being, you know, who are the people that could do business with you? The second one is, once you know who they are, how many of them actually know your name and know what you do? So this is Marketing 101, your commitment to make sure that everyone in your community knows you exist, they know the profile of the client you serve best, and they know what you do. So everyone in your life should know your ideal client profile. So firmly setting your ideal client profile is an important next step once you've decided to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. Third is clearly establish what it is that you're providing in terms of services. Establish clear client deliverables. We actually have another question that was submitted today about how to create client deliverables, so we'll cover that in a minute, but establish what they are. Many advisors don't clarify for clients exactly what it is they'll be doing for them, and so therefore clients don't understand the value that will be provided, and that actually creates a barrier to doing business with you. So not only establish what the deliverables are, but be able to clearly articulate what they are. So your ability to know what you're delivering and know how to describe what you're delivering is very important. And you need to decide how many meetings are you going to have with clients each year. Those of you that have been through the Kate Wilson case study know that we very strongly recommend the 3-meeting process. We've done quite a bit of study and research on this, and we can speak with authority about 3 meetings. But whatever the number, this is what clients want to know. They want to know, how often will I be meeting with my advisor, and exactly what are you going to be doing for this client to make sure that their financial house is in perfect order and is going to stay that way? And what are you going to be doing to help your clients make smart choices about their money along the way in all areas of finance? And how are you going to create the greatest probability that nothing's ever going to blow up for this client? And this is the proactivity. So if you can establish all these things very clearly and be able to articulate them, then clients will you'll pick up the pace of acquiring clients, because many times clients don't do business with an advisor that they meet because they don't exactly understand what it is that they're going to be doing for them. They don't understand the value that's going to be provided. So you can resolve that. So be able to respond with skill to this question whenever it's posed. So what do your clients get for the money that they pay you? And be able to respond with skill to that. And that starts with establishing what it is that you're doing for clients. Fourth is set your compensation. And we had a question come in this morning for this session about setting your compensation. So I'll cover that again here in a minute. But the keys here are, and we talk about this a lot in these monthly sessions, but don't overcomplicate your service. This is the most common mistake we see from financial advisors. They start to describe their compensation. Like when a client says, so what does all this cost? Advisors tend to overcomplicate this often. And then the client is left, if not confused, just left with so many options. Maybe it's not confusing, but they just don't know which option is best for them. So they'll just think about it. And thinking about it just means no. So, because whoever comes back and thinks about things like this, don't overcomplicate it. The best thing is, And this is going to come to you as this is going to be a for those of you that really grasp what we're saying here, this is going to be a big paradigm shift, because many of you offer all kinds of different services depending upon the level of client and what it is that you will be doing for them. We recommend only offering truly comprehensive financial services as your single service offering. So imagine that. Client says, so what do you do? And you describe, I basically coordinate all the personal financial affairs of a small community of clients, and you're describing truly comprehensive financial services. And that's the only option. So it's either you're in or you're out. It's very clear to the client. I think what troubles some advisors is the number of clients that it won't be a good fit for will be a large number. That's true. But once you have an ideal client, by many multiples, an ideal client is much more profitable than a non-ideal client. So in my case, I could acquire one ideal client and receive more profitable revenue than I would with more than 10 non-ideal clients. And how do I know this? Because I had to disengage from 1,225 non-ideal clients. And so every time I acquired an ideal client, I would go to the list of the revenue being received from my non-ideal clients, and I would commonly be sitting down with more than 10 non-ideal clients to point them in the right direction to another, usually younger advisor who could afford to meet with them more often. And, in a very honorable, respectful way, I politely disengaged from clients that did not meet my ideal client profile. And I did it in a way that really honored them and served them well. So only offer truly comprehensive financial services. For those of you that is a big ask and you just can't even imagine doing that, then I'd say, okay, it's not best, but it's okay. Offer two service offerings. Truly comprehensive financial services is your primary offering. And just as a backup offering for clients that don't meet your ideal client profile, the only other service offering that you have is to create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for this client. And basically the deal there is you're avoiding long-term entanglements and not establishing an ongoing relationship. You can, of course, always follow up later with these people, but from a business standpoint, you're not creating any future ongoing entanglements. You're basically, I recommend picking a period of time. It could be 90 days, it could be 180 days, it could be 30 days, but whatever. You could say, I will establish your comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy over the next 90 days, and then I'm going to hand it over to you to implement it. And then that severs all future obligations on your part, but you maintain the right to do future follow-ups if you feel like this individual might develop into an ideal client profile in the future. You lose nothing. You gain everything. You've eliminated the distraction of ongoing relationships. And notice how I do not say we will create a financial plan for you. I have eliminated from my vocabulary the term financial planning, and I encourage you to do the same. It's a term that is not well defined. Certainly clients don't understand exactly what it means. At the very best, it means different things to different people, and so it is therefore incoherent. It does not have a specific definition in the minds of clients, and therefore, and it also has very definite compliance meanings. And so I just recommend, I made the decision back in the year 2001 not to ever use the term financial planning, mainly because nobody could truly define it. When I went up to 10 clients and asked them to define financial planning, they all described something different. And I thought, well, at the very least, there's an understanding problem here. And it has not gotten better. It's gotten worse over time. And so I would say today, the definition of financial planning is even, because the term is more well known, it is even more widely confused. And so so eliminate it. Offer to create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for all your clients, so that if it's an ideal client, you're going to create this comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for every single ideal client. And then if you want to, you could offer that as a limited service offering to non-ideal clients just to get their financial strategy in place before you hand it over to them to go implement with their other financial advisors. The fifth thing is to create responses to the 10 pivotal questions. So this advisor, again, is asking, you know, I've made the decision to deliver comprehensive financial services, so what do I do now? The fifth thing in the list is to create responses to the 10 pivotal questions. Now, these 10 pivotal questions are what we have discovered over the last, these were developed in the year 2000, in the year 2001, and they describe what it is that nearly every client needs to get clear in their head before they will move forward with an advisor. So what we recommend is that you create a very powerful responses to each of these 10 questions. Create responses that truly describe you in a client-centered way, so that then you can commit these 10 responses to memory. And what they do is what I contend is that clients will ask you many hundreds of questions about what you do. But my comment to you is that these 10 responses will respond to any of those hundreds of questions. That if you'll get good responses to these 10 questions, then you'll be able to enter any situation anywhere with any potential client, and they can ask you literally anything about your business, and one of these 10 responses will be appropriate. Okay, so where do you go to get your 10 pivotal questions respond? You know, how do you go through that exercise? Well, most of you, I would say nearly all of you, have been through the Kate Wilson e-course at one time or another. It's offered through the trustedadvisortoolkit.com. It's no charge. The 10 pivotal questions is one of the exercises that are fully described in that case study. So you might go back through your notes on the Kate Wilson case study and look for the 10 pivotal questions. Six and final is to track your potential client interaction time. So what is this? So this represents the hours that you invest face to face or on the phone with potential ideal clients every week. You need to track this daily. This is the most important leading indicator, and you need to track it as much as you would track your favorite stock. This is the most important indicator that you should track, and it's the trend of this indicator that tells us almost everything we need to know about your growth of your business. So if the amount of time that you're investing face-to-face or on the phone with potential clients, is increasing, then we know that your business over time will increase. And if it's steady or declining, then it's not growing. This is the one number that's, you know, you could be building the best team in the world and delivering truly comprehensive financial services at a very high level. But if you're not interacting with people who could do business with you, then you will not grow. And you will not succeed in this business. This is the one thing that advisors tend not to do well. And even though we know, I think we can all acknowledge, this is a people business. You have to get out in front of people. And so seems crazy when an advisor asks me, hey, I've made the decision to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, so what do I need to do first or next? This is definitely on the list. If you're not tracking your potential client interaction time, then you're failing to track the single most important number to the growth of your business. Now, I don't do this very often, but I am going to do it today. We do have an app on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit so that members of the toolkit, who are working with us, which the Advisor Pack Monthly Program does not have access to the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. But those advisors that are working with us over on the toolkit have this application, and it basically tracks four things. So I am saying track your potential client interaction time, but there are four things that you really should be tracking. And one is a leading indicator and three are lagging indicators, and all four are really, this is the dashboard that tells you about the growth of your business. So right here, so down here on the lower half, just to kind of orient you to this, we have advisors setting the goal. Okay, so you can do the same thing without the app. You can certainly track this on a spreadsheet or wherever you want. So the goal is, so the hours engaged with potential clients on a 7-day rolling average. So what the advisors do on the app is they put in the date and the number of minutes that they invested interacting with a potential client. Okay, so as they're having these interactions, they just enter them here and it logs them down here. And so this is saying, so what's the goal? We're tracking minutes, but what's the goal in hours? So this says 7. I will tell you that when I was in this mode, the goal was closer, I think it was closer to 20 hours per week. So my goal was to have 20 hours of interaction with potential clients per week. And this is unique potential clients. So if I had, we don't need to go into the details of that, but let's just say hypothetically, this advisor has a goal of 7 hours per week on a rolling average. So then you need to track it. So what's the actual? Where you see the green, then the advisor has achieved the goal. So in this case, this advisor has, over the last 7 days, had 7 hours of interactions with potential clients. Number of referrals received last 7 days. So we have over here, as advisors receive a referral from someone, they just put the date of the referral and the name of the referral. And this is how many referrals have been received over the last 11 days, the goal being 10. So this has exceeded the goal. Number of initial client interviews. So whatever your initial client interview process is, some of you are implementing values-based financial planning by Bill Bachrach. Those are the financial roadmap meetings. Whatever your initial client interview process is, how many of them do you have scheduled for the next 7 days? So rather than now the last 7, we are looking towards the next 7 days. What's the goal? My goal was 5. I wanted to have 5 initial client interviews every week minimum. That's at least one a day on Monday through Friday. So the initial client interviews, this one's red. So this one's off track. This one's showing for this hypothetical advisor, no initial client interviews scheduled for the next 7 days. And then the goal. So what's the goal for the number of ideal clients over the last 90 days? So 3. And that was always my goal. 1 per month. I wanted a minimum of 1 ideal client acquired per month. So if you're tracking your potential client interaction time, and then that's the leading indicator, and then the lagging indicators are the numbers of referrals received, the number of initial client interviews over the next week, and the number of ideal clients added over a 90-day period. Okay. And so there's the response to this long-winded response to this question. What do I do first? You establish your positive vision. Just to recap, you firmly set your ideal client profile. You clearly establish your services, your client deliverables, and you set your compensation. Certainly do not overcomplicate this, and create responses to the 10 pivotal questions, and then track your potential client interaction time. That's my recommendation for what to do once you've decided to establish and to deliver comprehensive financial services. So how do I develop deliverables around comprehensive financial services? This is a pretty quick and straightforward response. What you're looking at here is this is the business model of Truly Comprehensive Financial Services. It's not a business model where you as the advisor are a one-man band, say a financial planner who does, you know, covers all the areas of personal finance. You may well be qualified to oversee all of these areas, but the way we're going to be encouraging you consistently in the Advisor Pack Monthly program is to establish a single subject matter expert in each of the areas of personal finance so that you, as a trusted advisor, are facing the client, interacting with the client, making recommendations that are in alignment with their overarching comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. And then when you're away from the client, outside of the meetings, you think of this as a swivel chair. My good friend Rick Barrera describes this as a kind of a desk swivel chair. So you're mostly facing the client. But when the client leaves the meeting, you swivel your chair around, and then you've got experts in each of these areas of personal finance that are helping you provide oversight and create an overarching comprehensive strategy for the client. All right. So what does this have to do with establishing client deliverables? Well, you may not have established your team of subject matter experts yet to help you deliver comprehensive financial services. However, they exist in your community. There are tax experts, money managers, financial planners, estate planning lawyers, other kinds of lawyers, insurance agents, people who are highly skilled, highly professional and highly effective at what they do. And so there's nothing that keeps you from interviewing these people now. You may not be in the market to build your team quite yet, but you can certainly be talking to these people and establishing relationships. And so I recommend sitting down, you know, with subject matter experts in each of these areas and interviewing them. That's how I created my client deliverables. I sat down with accountants. I sat down with financial planners. I sat down with estate planning lawyers. I sat down with really skilled insurance agents, property and casualty and life agents and health insurance agents and, long-term care and annuity specialists and all these different people. So, and then I would sit down and I would ask them, so what is your checklist? So let's say I'm sitting down in front of a tax accountant who is that a number of successful people in town have suggested that this is the tax accountant in town who is, highly skilled. So I'm asking this tax expert, what's your checklist? What do you need to see to fully understand a client's situation? What is it that you need to initially get your bearings to understand this client fully? And what do you need to do to ensure for that client that opportunities are not being overlooked? So that if, you know, as you understand the client's situation, what do you do to ensure that you're accelerating this client's results? What are you doing to make sure that this client achieves their financial goals and achieves them faster than they would otherwise without you? And also then, what do you do to avoid negative consequences within your area of expertise? So how are you proactive? How do you stay ahead of problems? What do you do so that nothing ever blows up? So these are the questions that you ask subject matter experts that you sit down with and try to understand what their process is. I think you'll be surprised at how willing people are to work with you, especially when they find out that what your ultimate goal is to build a team of subject matter experts like them to actually provide the services to your clients, to your ideal clients. So we recommend that you sit down with financial planning experts, tax planning, estate planning, money management, and insurance. It's from these interviews that you'll sit down and look at your notes, and you will develop your comprehensive financial services client deliverables from those interviews. These experts will tell you what the deliverables need to be. And so make sure that your deliverables cover all these five areas: financial planning, tax, estate, money management, and insurance. And one tip when you're talking to these experts, don't lead the witness. Don't presume what they're going to say. You should even see, this is a problem because many of you are skilled in these areas. I'm recommending very strongly that you come in as a novice and you don't say a word and you resist the temptation to say anything and you bite your tongue whenever you're about to suggest something to them. Let them talk. Let them tell you what they feel are the, the best ways to serve a client and get their financial house in order in their narrow field of finance. And how many of them should you talk to? I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. You'll know it when you start to see the enough client deliverables emerge from these notes for you to feel that you're delivering comprehensive financial services in all areas of finance. However, it should be at least three. So at least three financial planners, at least three tax experts, minimum of three. Otherwise, you're not going to get the broad spectrum. You know, you're not getting into the numbers of responses where you're likely to catch the whole list. We ended up, as many of you well know, with 10 client deliverables supported by 143 deliverables checkpoints. We have on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit defined comprehensive financial services. It's 10 client deliverables covering each of these five areas of personal finance and 143 checklist items beneath these 10 client deliverables. All of these 143 checkpoints are done annually for every client. And for those of you that are on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, that represents all the client deliverables. But nothing says you can't do what I did and go out there with your subject matter experts. Those of you who are not using the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, you can go out there and develop your own client deliverables yourself. Nothing's preventing you from doing that. How should I set my compensation for comprehensive financial services offered? First of all, work only with ideal clients. I think this is something that's overlooked, but really simplifies your compensation. Know your numbers. And then once you make the decision to work with only ideal clients and you know your numbers, then there's a cost-based method of calculating compensation and there's a client value method. Okay, first, work only with ideal clients. As we've said over and over, and you'll hear this a lot in the Advisor Pack Monthly program, working with a profile, an ideal client profile, is really critical because that will help establish for clients, clients who can afford you, clients who appreciate what you do, and to ensure that they're financial delegators. That's mainly what we're trying to do with the ideal client profile, and that's why we recommend you only work with these people. I mean, why? What's the business model that where it makes sense to envision working with people who can't necessarily afford you, don't appreciate you, and don't delegate decisions to you? So we find this to be a very important early step and something that advisors resist. And so we come in very strong saying this is the way it should be because we've just seen it so much over and over that this is the proper way to do it. Commit to only establishing ongoing relationships with ideal clients. Okay, so this is what we were alluding to earlier, but the basic gist here is that the biggest thing about acquiring a client is the amount of time that you're committing yourself to in the future. And as much as advisors contend and claim that non-ideal clients don't take up much time, we know this not to be the case. And so non-ideal clients are a tremendous distraction, and they slow down the acquisition of ideal clients sometimes by factors of 5 and 6. So I said that it took me 34 months to acquire 100 ideal clients. I mean, it could take 10 and 15 years if you kind of buy into the notion that non-ideal clients are not distracting. They are very distracting. And so we recommend that you commit to only establishing ongoing relationships, in other words, services that go on year after year, that you only hold yourself out to potential clients, that you're willing to have this kind of ongoing relationship only with ideal clients. And however, having said that, we understand that not everybody in the Advisor Pack monthly program is, you know, at the financial point where you can feel like you can afford to do that. And so, and there are many people in the Advisor Pack monthly program who are new to the business and or starting over. And so, so we understand that it's okay. So then your question is, so then what do I do to make enough revenue to keep the doors open? And I would say that survival income is okay. So if you have to do some kind of, business with someone to generate revenue, I would just simply say this: don't make it an ongoing relationship. Purposely make it transactional so that you're helping a client, you're putting something in place in their investment portfolio or in some financial service that they need, you're getting it in place for them, and specifically you're not committing to ongoing service. That's the key. So it's okay to actually seek after survival income. That's fine. But when I was saying, you know, only offer two service offerings, one is truly comprehensive financial services on an ongoing basis, and maybe the other service being create a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy over the next 90 days and then hand over the plan to them to implement, that is actually transactional. So that's an example of some survival income, and that is perfectly okay. You need to establish the number of ideal clients that you want. And more on that in a minute, but you should get in your mind, what is your goal of the number of ideal clients that that you want to have? Second is know your numbers. I jumped here. So the numbers are, how much money do you need to run your business? What's the amount of money that you need to fund your own future goals? So you've done your financial plan, presumably. How much money do you need to each year to fund your future goals? What's the amount of money that you need to live a fabulous life now? And you need a margin of safety on top of that. So add those all up, and how much is that on an annual basis? You need to know your numbers. And then with that in mind, you can first approach this with the cost-based method. We have 1 minute to go, so I'm not sure I'll get to the last question here, but let me just fly through this. Establish the annual cost for delivering comprehensive financial services through 5 skilled subject matter experts. As you're talking to subject matter experts, establish how much time it's going to take them, or how much it will cost to provide truly comprehensive financial services, and come up with an annual cost for each of these subject matter experts. And then once you know those 4 numbers from before, add those to the list and divide by the maximum number of ideal clients. That's your goal number of ideal clients that you'd like to have. So if you'd like to have 50 ideal clients, divide by 50. If you want to have 100 ideal clients, divide by 100. And when you get this number, when you divide the cost by the number of ideal clients, this is your minimum cost-based compensation level. This is your minimum. In other words, below this, you're not moving towards your goals. And so that's the cost-based method. The client value method is the other end of the spectrum. It examines what's possible. It focuses upon what your ideal client is willing to pay rather than what the costs of the services are. This is much more abundance theory. I mean, after all, you could live in East Gumshoe, Texas, where there are, in your mind, very few ideal clients living there. But candidly, you're only seeking 50 to 100. I mean, most of the advisors we're working with are not seeking 150, 200 clients. That's just serving them comprehensively is not realistic. So most advisors are seeking between 50 and 100 clients, and that's all you're looking for. And you can find 100 ideal clients who are willing to pay you $50,000 a year for truly comprehensive financial services. This we can say with authority, because we have advisors that we follow very closely all over the English-speaking world who are implementing the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, delivering the 10 client deliverables with the 143 deliverables checkpoints that we've established for those using the toolkit, and they are charging $50,000 a year, many of them. The average is lower, but there are enough advisors charging this that we know that the clients value it at that level. So I can tell you with authority, if you're charging below $50,000, that's what clients feel like it's worth. The clients are paying for advisor packed. These clients at this level believe that your greatest value is the time you create for them. It's the advisor's effort to keep the client's to-do list of things to get done for in their financial life to a minimum, so that the advisor's doing and the advisor's team is doing much of the work. The cost method is something you have to do. I mean, you certainly in a business process, you have to focus on covering your costs, no question. But if you build your business model around just covering your costs, that's a fear-based business model. If you focus your business model around what are clients actually willing to pay for this kind of service, that's a more possibility-based business model. And I will leave you with this, and then we will end it there because we're 2 minutes over time. I will just say your compensation level has more to do with your level of confidence than anything else. So if your level of confidence is high, then you'll be able to charge at the higher end of what clients are willing to pay. Well, that's it. We did have one other question. How do I describe what I do to my current non-ideal clients and to others? We will cover that in the next monthly session for the Advisor Pack monthly program. You're doing great. We can tell from the questions that we're receiving from you that your clients are very fortunate to have you. You're moving in the right direction. You're committing to all the things that clients really swear they cannot find anywhere. And the closer you move in this direction, the more you'll deliver on the promise of comprehensive financial services and the more indispensable you'll become to your clients. You're doing really great. And until next month, this is Mark Little, wishing you all the best in implementing.